WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the Word. Come on, let's go.
You know, for the last couple of weeks, we've been dealing with the subject of spiritual warfare. And to understand the battle, we need to begin by acknowledging, number one, that there is a spiritual warfare. Most people don't want to think about it because most people have a dim view of warfare in general. And the way we perceive war in the natural is understandable. We see a lot of death, murder, destruction, and carnage. But what we see in the natural is really nothing compared to what's going on in the spirit realm. And in the spirit realm, the enemy is trying to destroy. The Bible says Satan has a threefold agenda: to come to kill, steal, and to destroy. But we have to understand that God has positioned us in these last days to be the spiritual warriors that will come forth to destroy the works of the enemy. Matter of fact, I call us the shadow warriors. Psalms 91 says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So you have to understand, when we as shadow warriors are fighting, we're standing in the shadow of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's not about a great name or a particular individual. It's about those who are in that secret place. And when you get in that secret place, it's a place where God will manifest himself. You know, the Bible says, when you pray, go into your chamber and close the door, and your Father that hears in secret shall reward you openly. But we have to understand that secret place is not necessarily my prayer room or in my office or a particular place, but that secret place is within. That secret place, to where you enter into that place where you know that you have communicated with God. When you pray, you have to understand that God opens up a spiritual portal that teleports you to the very throne room of God. The Bible says that we should seek his face at all times. The Bible said men are to always pray and not to faint. Matter of fact, it tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of trouble. See, when we as the shadow warriors begin to pray, we have the ability to touch heaven and change earth in the behalf of the men and women saying, please, please pray for me. And it's so necessary in these last days that we understand our role as the soldiers of God going forth to destroy the works of the devil. You know, in Revelation chapter 12, it gives us like a general synopsis of the world or the warfare that's been taking place down through the ages. And it talks about in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. It talks about how there appeared a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and she had a crown upon her head of 12 stars. That's the nation of Israel. We find that same reference when Joseph had his dream. He said, I had a dream that the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down and made obeisance to me, the 12th. So we know this is talking about Satan coming against God's people. Then it says, she being with child cried in birth and pain to be delivered. We know that Mary, when she was about to bring forth her child, had to take almost a 1,200-mile journey just to get to where the city of Nazareth, where Joseph had to pay taxes. It was a troubling situation where she had to go. She was in birth and pain to be delivered. And what it says here, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. We know this dragon to be Satan, stood before the woman, waiting to devour her child as soon as she was delivered. Well, we remember when the wise men came into the city and said, where is he who's born king of the Jews? For we have seen the stars in the east. And Herod, who is a representation of satanic authority at that time, sought out where the child was. Someone, let go and send word that I may come and worship. But we know the real reason why is that he wanted to destroy the child before the child was even born. But God warned the wise men and said, don't go back the way that you came, but go another way, because Herod shall seek the young child's life. And so what did Herod do in order to try to destroy the promised seed is that he destroyed every child 2 years of age and under in order to try to destroy the Christ. It says, and his tail drew away a third part of the stars from heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, we know when Satan defected from heaven, when he told the first lie, that he drew away a third of the angels with him, and they were cast out of their place that they had in heaven. Now they were in the upper atmosphere to where he is the prince and the power of the air. Now, Satan got his satanic authority from Adam in the garden when Adam yielded to the obedient word of Satan. When he took Satan's word over God's word, because the Bible said, whoever you submit yourself to, that you become the servant of. And when he believed or took Satan's word over God's word, there was an exchange of authority. Adam lost his authority, and Satan usurped that authority from him. And so that's when that particular thing happened, where Satan had the authority that was a God-given authority to man, and he usurped that authority. And so we're talking about warfare, spiritual battles, things that take place in the unseen realm. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And a lot of times we ignore a lot of things to that nature. All right, and we talked about here how his tail drew away a third of the stars. And verse 5 says, she brought forth a man-child, who was Jesus Christ, who is the ruler of the nation with a rod of iron. We find that in the book of Revelation. Her child was caught up unto God unto his throne. We remember when he was crucified, the two men stood by in white apparel. When he looked at his disciples, said, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heavens, so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go. So we know that he was caught up in the Bible, and the clouds received him out of their sight. And so he's coming back with the clouds. So he says, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. So Jesus today is seated at the right hand of God, waiting until we make his enemies become his footstool. In other words, we are the ones who are to put the enemy under our feet, because we are the body of Christ. Christ is the head, we are the body. Therefore, Satan has only one place, that's under our feet. Now let's go on a little bit and talk about a little bit more about the subject, about the spiritual warfare, and how that we play a vital part in these last days. Jesus gave us the power of attorney to use his name, to exercise all of the authority that he has when we call on the name of Jesus. But this is only for the blood-washed, spirit-filled believer. This is not for the casual saint. I don't want you going around trying to cast out devils and trying to do spiritual warfare if you have not first submitted yourself unto God. Because you have to be able to submit yourself unto God, and then you resist the devil, and then he flees from you. But if you're still vacillating between rather than that, you can live for God or not, and you know you're a believer, but you're still a carnal saint, you know what I mean, a carnal Christian, as they call it. You know, it's the difference between being saved and being delivered. You know, when you got saved, your spirit got saved. Now, deliverance comes with the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is why Paul talked about the new converts as being as babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word. Not those who are exercised in the word that can take on strong meat, but those that were still on milk. So when once you become skillful in the word of God and know how to handle the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, you have the ability to rightly divide the word of truth. Then you can understand the spiritual things. And see, once you begin to get in to seek God, God now takes you to another level of discernment, to where frequencies are involved. When frequencies are involved, you can determine what is of God and what is not of God. Well, what you mean by that, Pastor? Well, you remember when Peter was asked the question? He said, when Jesus asked, who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am? And many say, well, one of the prophets, or Elijah, or one of the, someone to that nature. He said, but he asked him a question. He said, but who do you say that I am? And see, that question is a discerning question. Who do you say that Jesus is? Because see, that's the only thing that really matters, is what your faith is, what your opinion is about who Christ is to you in your life. And Peter answered the question. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, therefore, Peter, he said, listen, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. I mean, can you imagine how Peter might have felt at that time? Peter might have felt like he was walking on cloud nine. I haven't heard from God. The rest of y'all didn't answer this question, but I did. I heard from the very throne of God. The Father has spoken this and gave me this word to give to Jesus. And then Jesus began to come on to tell about his suffering, his crucifixion, and the things that he had to do. And the Bible says something interesting. He said, then Peter began to rebuke Jesus. Can you imagine that? No, not so, Lord. Be that far from you. No, not so. And Jesus turned around and said, get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't say, get behind me, Peter. He understood the frequency of the voice. And see, as a discerning saint, you need to be able to determine and hear what is of God and what is not of God. Because the enemy is trying to establish things in the planet that God never intended to be established. Matter of fact, when you go over to Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul begins this statement and said, my heart's desire and prayer unto God is that all Israel would be saved. He said, for I bear witness that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of the righteousness of God, have gone about to establish their own righteousness, not submitting themselves unto the righteousness which is of God. Now, the word righteousness is, you know, most people, we cloak that on as, you know, and like it's a lifestyle that we're just righteous. But really, the word righteousness really means the things that God has determined that you have a right to. And unrighteousness is just the opposite, things that you don't have a right to. Let me give you an example of why I say that. The first time the word righteousness was mentioned was in Genesis, when I think it's chapter 15, where God made covenant with Abraham, and the Bible said, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, Abraham did not make God one single promise, not none, but God was making promise to Abraham. And every promise that God made, because Abraham believed it, he had a right to access it. He had a right to it. Now, we have a right to everything that God has promised unto us. God has given us some exceedingly great and precious promises. Matter of fact, the Bible said God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and he has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So God has already fully equipped us. Now, how do we access the things that God has given unto us? It's based on our ability to discern what is rightfully ours. See, when God gave the children of Israel the promised land, it was not a vacant land without occupants. They had to go and displace those that were in the land and possess the land that God had promised unto them. There's a lot of things that God has promised unto you that you may have squatters on, spiritual squatters, and it's trying to take your place. But once you understand your authority, you can use your voice of authority and command based on what God has said and displace that enemy and go in and take your possession that God has given unto you. Let's talk about the shadow warriors for a minute, because this is something we've been dealing with an aspect of spiritual warfare. And I won't get into the whole study that we've been doing with spiritual warfare, because we've been on that for about 3 or 4 weeks now. Now, spiritual warfare, like I said in the beginning, if we look at Psalm 91, it's where I base this theory on. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then the Bible says something, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. The moment you make that declaration, everything in Psalm 91 or every other scripture is applied to your life, because you made the Lord, which is your refuge, your hiding place. You made him your sanctuary. You abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He covers you with his feathers. And so we are hidden from view, if you understand what I'm saying. So it's not about you going around boasting about, I'm the man of God and faith and power for the hour. No, God is using the shadow warriors, those that stand behind the cross, those that stay under the shadow of the Almighty. That means when God, when they see you, you're not here to represent you. You're not here to talk about what a great man of God I am, or what a great woman of God, I'm prophetess, I'm this. No, no, no. See, the shadow warriors are covert operatives. The shadow warriors, they don't draw attention into themselves. They're like the ninjas of that year. See, ninjas, you never saw a ninja coming. They had certain duties they had to do. Let's look at this a little bit. When we conduct spiritual warfare from the secret place, while we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, we stand behind the Lord. Therefore, we're hidden in his shadow. As long as you're staying in the shadow of God, you have all the power of the Almighty working with you. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2:20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, are you willing to die to yourself? This is what it's going to take, to die for your personal ambition, personal gain, and live your life for God. Every one of us should have an agenda. Now, you might be a storekeeper, you might be a clerk in a grocery store, you might be a CEO, but you have the inner agenda of winning a soul to Christ, of delivering the bound, of letting the oppressed go free, of disrupting the plan of the enemy. Now, let's look at what I'm talking about. I'm going to compare what we are in Christ to what a ninja warrior is. Shadow warriors, that's who we are. We fight from the shadow of the Almighty. We're covert operatives. Covert means to be secret or hidden. It means to be concealed or to conceal something. See, you don't have to look like who you are. So you may not look like as mighty as you are, but what is in you is greater than what is in the world. He who dwells in you, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Colossians 3:1 says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Then it says, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. See, this is where we have to be heavenly minded. We have to have the agenda of God going in our mind at all times. This is what we're about. We're covert operatives. We're here to represent the kingdom of God. We are not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we are here to set up. We are the liaison. We're like John the Baptist. We're the forerunner. We're preparing the way of the Lord. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Let me tell you what a refiner does when he's refining gold or silver. He takes all of the silver or the gold that he's using, and he put it in the pot, and he turns up the temperature on this pot until the pot gets so hot that the gold and silver begins to melt. And as the gold and silver begins to melt, all of the impurities rise to the top. So this is why I'm saying you've got to get some things out of you. And when the impurity rises to the top, he takes his ladle and he scrapes off all of the slag or the dross, and he throws it off to the side. And as he comes up, he keeps skimming. He keeps on skimming. He keeps on skimming. And the only way he knows that that gold or that silver now is pure is when he looks in the pot and all he sees is his own reflection showing back at him. This is how our life has to be. Our life is hid in God. And when Christ, which our life, shall appear, then shall we appear also with him in glory. And when people look at you, they'll see Christ. They'll see the life of Christ upon you. They'll see it, they'll know it by your action. You know, the Bible said that Christians were that they were first called Christians, the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. That means someone from afar observed their behavior and conversation and say they were Christ-like. And you know the old adage, if you were on trial to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence to condemn you? Would you be guilty? Or would they say, we're not sure because he says one thing, but he behaves like another. No, we don't want to be hypocritical. We want to exhibit the very character and the very nature of God, but also understanding our place and our authority in Christ. See, Christ didn't just come to save us from going to hell. He put us in the family and the household of God. We're soldiers in the army of the Lord. Those soldiers entangling themselves with the affairs of this life, that he might please them who called him into service. So we got to make sure we're pleasing God. Their function, what is the function of the ninja's warrior? It was to expunge. In other words, they were, it was like espionage. Excuse me, I say expunge. It was espionage. What do you mean by espionage? It was a practice of spying or obtaining military or political information. You know who was a shadow warrior in the Bible? In 1 Kings, we talk about Elijah. Elijah, when the king of Syria tried to trap the king of Israel, Elijah would hear the king's secrets in the bedchamber. King of Syria got so upset and said, who is telling my business? They said, nobody, king, but there's a prophet who hears the king's secrets in his bedchambers. And this prophet name is Elijah, and he's over in Dothan. Not Dothan, Alabama, but Dothan. In other words, God gives you that inside information. You may be custodial in an office building, and you may be hearing someone planning on doing some undermining or something that's going to be devastating to the people. And you know, God said, listen, if you pray, you have the problem to, you have the power to bind and to loose. He said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom, Matthew chapter 16 and 18. He said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, whatever God has already established as being righteousness, you have a problem. You have the power down here on this earth to establish that thing. And if unrighteousness is trying to take over, you have the power to bind it and to cancel the assignment. You throw a monkey wrench in the devil's plan. You know, when the Bible said that all things are working together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, we didn't say that everything was going to be good, it's working. But I want you to look at it this way. God will be in all things working. No matter what the situation is, God is in it. And God will put us in situations to where we can have the influence over a situation to stop the plan of the enemy right there in his tracks. We're called to sabotage his works, to deliberately disrupt and obstruct the plan of the enemy, to undermine his cause and plans through a deliberate influence. A deliberate influence. And see, that's what the shadow warriors do. And people wonder, the devil is wondering why his stuff ain't working. Because God got somebody who is so unassuming. Someone he raised up out of obscurity. The fly on the wall, so to speak. Someone that they not even paying attention to. But you're the one that God called. To pluck up, to pull down, to destroy, to plant, and to build. You're the one that God has called in these last days to disrupt the plan of the enemy, to deliver the bound, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye destroy every yoke. Oh, you're powerful. You just don't know it. See, you may be that little grandmother at home washing the dishes, and God will put somebody on your heart, and you begin to pray. You may be out there in the street right now, and you'll see somebody getting pulled over, or somebody in a car accident, and you begin to pray. You may see an argument that's about to break up, heated discussion getting loud, and you begin, in the name of Jesus, Lord, and you start praying against that thing, and you command peace in that situation. People forget what they're arguing about. And on a bigger level, on a world level, we can look at situations in the world, and we can pray that God will hold back judgment and release revival. Now, we can't change the end time situation. We know what God has prophesied is going to happen. But we can be influenced in that situation to where his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is how he told us to pray. And God said, I'm not willing that any would perish. but all will come to repentance. Well, how are they going to come to repentance? You know, unless somebody is challenging them to repent. The Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes by hearing. But in order for faith to come, it has to proceed out of some place. It's got to come from some place. And you're the place that faith has to come. And if your faith is not solid, how can you minister to somebody if you're still full of doubt and unbelief? This is why we have to cleanse our hearts from all unrighteousness, the things that are not of God. This is why the Bible tells you that the weapon of your warfare is not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen to this, casting down of imaginations. You know what imaginations are? People say imaginations are strongholds and strong thoughts. No, it's the enemy trying to influence your mind for him to get you to say something to establish his agenda in the earth so he can have authority in the earth. Do you know you are the establishing witness in the earth? This is why the devil wants to use your tongue. Your tongue is more powerful than the unsaved man because you are born again. You've been given the authority here on the earth. You are the spiritual police. You are the ones who are able to get a prayer through. You are the establishing witness. And so we have to be careful. This is why the Bible says, by our words we shall be justified. Also by our words we shall be condemned. Not meaning that God is condemning us, but a lot of times we release condemning statements that give the enemy a foothold in our life. The enemy was trying to get you to say something. Man, I don't think things are going to ever get better. I don't see how I'm going to make it. And the devil uses your words against you. Now, in our next series, probably, we're going to be talking about our words and how powerful our words are and how heaven is a spiritual courtroom and that the enemy is trying to take what you say and use against you. Just like the day Satan came before God and told God that the only reason why Job was serving him is because you put a hedge about him. And he said, let me touch him, I get him to curse you to your face. It was all about getting Job to release the wrong words out of his mouth. And at the end, when Job held on to his integrity, what happened? Satan tried to use his big gun against him. After losing all of his children, his livestock, cattle, his home, and his body was breaking out in sores, the devil used Job's wife and said, Job, you still hold on to your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? But Job was familiar with frequencies. He said, woman, you don't sound like my wife. You sound like one of these foolish women. You have to have the frequency of God to know the difference when it's the devil talking. No matter who the devil is using, you have to be able to stop that thing from being established. Now, we'll continue with this study and our next assignment. I'm going to say God bless you, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service times at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
To certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was.